Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love touring gardens. We have wonderful trips available. If you'd like to go to our website, artandbloomgardentours.com, you can travel with me and we can just geek out at all the beautiful plants and flowers we visit.
I'm telling you, one of these years, I'm going to catch up with you. I'm telling you. I just, the pricing that you guys have on the website is amazing, and it's quaint.
Yes.
So it's not like, you know, a big conference of 1,000 people going with Teresa.
Exactly. We just very, very small groups, under 20, and we just have a wonderful time, and we visit private and botanical gardens. So let's go ahead with our dirty word of the day. And the dirty word of the day is kind of pertains to Easter. It is asclepias.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
It is. It is the milkweed. It is botanically known as Asclepias with different species. It has over 100 known species. The common milkweed is a native of most of the eastern United States, was one of the first plants introduced from the U.S. to Europe by transatlantic travel. In the mid-1700s, Linnaeus named it based on his mistaken belief that it had been introduced from the Orient. So Asclepias syrica means of Syria. Milkweed is a fragrant, nectar-rich pollinator attractor. It is deer-resistant and tolerant of poor soils. It is a North American wildflower, and it's an important food source for the endangered monarch butterfly. It was named by Carl Linnaeus after the Greek god of healing, Asclepias. I'm going to mispronounce it. Asclepias, and the species is about resurrection. This week I was watching Holy Marvels with the host Dennis Quaid, and the topic was beyond heaven. While mentioning the resurrection, they also talked about the parallel in Greek mythology of the Greek god of healing, Asclepias, with U-S, not A-S, and the myths of how he was resurrected and brought other people back to life. Asclepias is a large perennial, and it has the stem, the lower surfaces of the leaves, and other parts of the plant are covered in fine white hairs, which likely serve as a defense against insect predation. When the central stem or the leaves are damaged or torn, they exude a opaque, milky sap for which the plant is named. This sap contains cardiac glycosides, there you go, which are toxic to many animals. Monarch butterfly caterpillars famously take advantage of this toxicity, which they themselves are immune to, by feeding exclusively on the milkweed, thereby accumulating the toxins in their body. Even after they metamorphize into butterflies, the insects retain enough poison to serve as a deterrent to predators. Although the sap is toxic to human in large quantities, cardiac glycosides derived from milkweed and other natural sources have been shown to be important and effective drugs for the treatment of congestive heart failure or cardiac arrhythmia. In tribute to its medicinal value, the genus of the milkweed takes its name, Asclepias, after the Greek god of healing, Asclepias. And that's the dirty word of the day. I did not know that. I got really excited watching the movie or the documentary, and it was talking about the resurrection, and I was thinking that was great for Easter. And but then this god, Asclepias, Greek god, he brought people back to life, which was very interesting. So if you have a garden call, you'd like to call us with your garden question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We have wonderful spring events going on in next weekend. April 25th and 26th is the Orlando Garden Club, and that is on. Let me give you that exactly. Let's see here. It's on Rollins Street, right behind Advent Health, and it goes on April 25th, and then 1 to 5, and April 26th, 10 to 3. And then the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival is on April 26th, the Saturday. and April 27th, the Sunday. And Tom McCubbin will be in the plant doctor booth at the early morning. So he'll be there from 9 to 11. And then also you can ask gardening questions and just say hello to him. He'd be happy to see you.
How fitting. He's in the doctor booth. That's awesome.
Isn't it? Yes, he is exactly. The plant doctor. So that is great. We are going to be back with one of Florida's biggest pest problems, and we don't talk about it enough. Heather Stickney from the Summit Responsible Solutions is joining us. We'll be right back with more Better Lawns and Gardens this Saturday morning. This is Where You Are. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we have with us joining right now Heather Stickney. She is a representative with the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Good morning, Heather. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am great. It seems like good weather is up and down all the East Coast. Are you getting any rain, though?
We are. As a matter of fact, it looks like a thunderstorm has just finished passing through the area. So woke up to quite a bit of rain this morning.
Well, but send it on south.
We'll do. Everything but the lightning, right?
Right. No, I love lightning. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
I love
a
lightning.
Fire ban.
Oh, yeah. That's not good for us. Never mind. Don't send the lightning. So, Heather, do you have any plans for the holiday, Easter holiday?
I do. As a matter of fact, I'm getting together with my family. We'll have dinner tomorrow night. And I leave most of the cooking up to them. I'm on dish duty, so my brother and my mom are better cooks than I am. So I'll let them handle that piece of it, and
you'll wash the dishes up. There you go. Yeah. Good people know where their place is in life. So that's
I have learned for many years. I have learned.
So Summit Responsible Solutions Studios has a solution for every pest problem: insects, gnats, mosquitoes, ticks, and more. But we have never discussed your solution for one of our Florida's main garden pests: deer. Are deer a problem in your area in Maryland?
They are. As a matter of fact, they seem to be a problem just about everywhere. They come into lawns and landscapes, and they can do significant damage to plants.
They do.
So, yes, they are a problem here.
So there are products on the market that keep deer away, but most times it's just too stinky to use. And deer get used to the smell, and they don't mind it after a while. So what is Summit Responsible Solutions' alternative?
We make a product called Deer Ban. And essentially what Deer Ban is a capsule that discourages deer from eating ornamentals and other landscape plants. It contains a predator urine, and when it's watered in and activated, although we can't smell it, the deer can, and it triggers in them that animal flight response. So if they think a predator is in the area, they'll avoid the area.
That's a great idea, and it's not stinky. That's wonderful. So Summit's Deer Ban is not only a deterrent for deer, but also rodents and armadillos, and even, Lizzie, cover your ears, turkeys. So how
wild
does it?
Turkey can be a problem in yards too.
And so how does it work?
It's because of that smell that animals can sense that we cannot. They think of predators in the area, and so they avoid the area.
And so your product Deer Ban is US EPA registered. What does that mean for homeowners?
What that means is that the product has been evaluated by the EPA or the Environmental Protection Agency, and when it's used according to the label directions, the EPA has determined that it's not harmful to people, non-target species, or the environment. So essentially they've said, yes, this product works as intended when used according to label directions and won't harm non-target species.
That's great. And so how long is it effective for? Because sometimes people just put it down one time and they think it's good for, you know, years and never put it down again. So how long is Deer Ban good?
Deer Ban, once it's watered in and activated, is good for up to 90 days. So it does have some residual properties, meaning that it will last over time. You know, it doesn't wash away with water, although I would suggest if you have heavy rains, you may need to apply a little bit more often.
Okay, and hopefully we will have that issue. And so
I understand it's very dry in Florida right now. Yes.
It is. And so can you use Deer Ban for any plants?
You can use it really around any plants. You can use it around the perimeter of your property, around flower beds, and new plantings, really anywhere where you might be having trouble with deer causing damage in your landscape.
And so would you suggest, like, putting on the calendar, we put it down, you know, on April 25th, and then 3 months later, go ahead and put it down again? Or is there something that they can notice in the yard that will remind us?
I think if you put the product down and you see deer coming back, that might be a trigger to put it down earlier than 90 days. But otherwise, yes, if you set up a calendar reminder for every 90 days, as long as you're not having trouble, you should be fine.
Wonderful. So how much does it cost first?
It retails at about $14.99, so under $15. And each packet contains 50 capsules. We recommend that you place them every 5 to 10 feet. So I believe each packet will cover up to 400 linear feet in a landscape.
Okay, that works. And so where can our listeners buy it?
You can find Deer Ban at local garden centers or at farm supply stores. It's also available online at our website, summitchemical.com.
And they can also read more about Deer Ban because you've got a lot of information on there.
There is quite a bit of information on our website as well, yes.
Excellent. So people are going to be having parties. You know, springtime is here, and we're going to coming up to the summertime where we're going to be having cookouts and fun family events. Your year-round oil spray, what do you suggest for the whole perimeter of the landscape?
In terms of treating for
insects, ticks, mites, gnats?
You know, if you are looking for something to repel mosquitoes, gnats, things of that nature, we do make a mosquito and gnat spray.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a permethrin-based spray, but it will help kill those mosquito and tick populations as well as gnats in your yard and around your landscape.
It's a very good product. And then you also, for camping, what do you suggest for people who are going camping for their clothes and the tents and their equipment?
We make a product called Green Armor Insect Repellent for clothing and gear. That is also a permethrin-based spray, and it's been designed specifically to treat garments and gear to help repel and kill ticks, mosquitoes, chiggers, and mites, biting insects.
So you can use it on tents?
You can use it on tents, hammocks. You can use it on chairs, so canvas chairs that you might use outside.
Mm-hmm.
It really just helps add a layer of protection against those biting insects. And we all know mosquitoes and ticks can spread disease.
Exactly.
So if you're going to be outside and exposed or in areas where you're exposed to those pests, it's a great way to keep yourself protected.
Wonderful. Summit Responsible Solutions is one of our sponsors for Better Lawns and Gardens, so we so appreciate them. You have a wonderful product line, and Heather, we just couldn't be more excited about your products, and we recommend them to everyone. I even talked to people at the festivals that we're talking about today, and they say that they love the mosquito bits and dunks, and they love your products, so I certainly do appreciate them.
Well, we appreciate all of the support, so thank you. It's a fun company to be involved with, and it's a joy to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Heather. Tell Bill I said hi. Give us that website again where people can go and get Deer Ban, and they can get all of the products that you recommend for summer fun and enjoyment outdoors.
Absolutely. It's summitchemical.com.
Thank you so much, Heather. Have a wonderful weekend with your family.
Thank you, Teresa. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. She is just so amazing.
Yes.
And but the products are great.
Yes. And, you know, even though they are a sponsor, you know, I've used them for years prior to even doing this radio show. And I love it. I love it. I feel much comfortable putting this out with us having property and our dogs on the property, along with I don't mind putting it out to help with around the turkey area. And I like to use their spray that they have for the boots and pants and tents. I actually go through and I spray the outside of my turkey area where I have I know you shouldn't probably people are just I am such a redneck, okay? So I use the frost blankets as like a sheer sheet between some of the turkeys.
Sure.
Because it still lets some airflow in.
Yeah.
And so I spray that down whenever I let them out to run so it has a chance to dry. And it has really been very helpful for keeping the mosquitoes down. So
I certainly agree. And then also, too, they're great if you have bromeliads and love bromeliads, but you're worried about the mosquitoes and the water in the cup of the bromeliad at the top of it.
Yes.
You just sprinkle those little mosquito bits in it. And what's fascinating, Mother Nature is fascinating, science is tremendous, that it only works on mosquito larvae. So it doesn't hurt birds and it doesn't hurt other animals. And you can put them in your bird bath. You can put them in any kind of fountain or anywhere where the water, you can get a mosquito in your mulch.
What?
Yeah. Do you know how your pine bark has those little, you know, it's not perfectly straight and you get little water sitting in your mulch areas. And hopefully we're going to have that problem where we have rain in our mulch. But the mosquito bits and dunks work great in those kind of conditions and with bromeliads.
That makes sense.
So that's wonderful. Well, we have a lot of text messages and we're going to be getting to those and your phone calls. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680, like Linda and Mike, and there you go. So, got a lot of text messages. I'm reading them, so that we'll be getting to it. So, Nick says, I have a squirrel problem. They like to climb my mango trees and take the young fruit, drop them to the ground, and then eat them. And he says he has a pellet gun for them, and it seems to do a good job. And does anybody have any good squirrel recipes out there? Okay, so.
Has anybody seen Forrest Gump? Because I swear that was Teresa reading off the things you can do with squirrels to eat.
So you have to look for, look for 19 recipes for cooking squirrel. And they are just completely They're great recipes. I don't know if I would eat a squirrel, but you go for it. So that's just kind of funny. The squirrel problem. We're going to be talking. My landscaper has recommended Citra Blue grass. I'm not familiar with that type of grass. What do you think? I'm going to give you that when we come back. Also, two desert roses we're going to be talking about. And then also hibiscus. And we're going to get to everybody's money trees and then Easter. Everyone's sending in Easter greetings. Peterson Nursery. Howie, we hope you and Karen have a great Easter weekend. Thank you so much for listening. And you're one of our great sponsors. We love having you. You're in Lakeland. Go by and see Peterson's Nursery today. Take a plant to an Easter event tomorrow for your family. Go by Peterson's and pick up a plant and take it with you. So you hostess gift, and everybody will love that. So we're going to be back 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. If you missed any of today's show, you can go back to iHeartRadio and you can catch the podcast. Also, too, on Facebook, go on Facebook, like us, give us 5 stars. We would love to have you do that. This Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. Fine, thank you. And you?
I am great.
Good. I got a question on these blackberries. They're sort of new out to us, but my neighbor's had one for a year, and it's bearing real good, and I got a couple, and mine are in two different stages, but mine are a year, you know, younger, you might say.
Okay.
And I was wondering how best to go. It's Primocane R Freedom, the one that I understand is recommended for this area, but there's not much information on it. And
okay.
If you could help me out there.
Well, what you need to remember, Jerry, about Primocane blueberries is that these these blackberries will set and flower and produce fruit in the first year. Now, usually with blackberries, we cut them down every year. You don't do that with Primocanes because they do a second production the second year. And so you want to cut them every 2 years or so. And so they need regular fertilizing, but do not cut them back after the first production, because they're going to begin to go into their second production for the second year.
Oh, I see. And that way, that's where mine is. Got to wait another year before I get production then, huh?
Right, exactly. So they're going to produce this year, but then next year they're going to do it again. So you don't want to cut them down to the ground, because that's going to delay them. That's going to start them off in the first year again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're on the same canes, though. You're going to get two productions off the same canes.
Yes, right. But it'll take 2 years. So you're going to get a production.
Yes.
You're going to get a harvest this year, and you'll get a harvest next year. But usually with blackberries, you just cut them down to the ground after, in the fall, and then they just produce again.
I got old-fashioned ones I do that with. But the first year here, you get a lot of fruit like she's getting. That's the flora cane. And I assume the second year you're getting the Primocane?
No, the Primocane, Prime 1, number 1. So the first year is the Primocane.
Oh.
The second year is the Floricane.
Wow, so I even got to expect more.
Yes.
Okay,
you got to let me know how you do. I love blackberries.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, me too. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jerry. Happy Easter.
Yeah, sounds like we're going to have to go over to Jerry's house and get us some blueberry pie or something.
Yes, I will tell you, we had blackberry pie this week, and it was to die for.
Yeah, blackberry pie, yes.
Oh, I love berry pies. Okay, so let's go through here. So, let me see. I'm going right here. Excuse me, everyone. I just want to get the mouse. And so, I just want to make sure I'm getting everything. So, Lizzie, tell everybody what a perfect text message is.
Perfect text message is a name or a name that you want to be called by. Nice, please. Then your location, because she needs to know where you're at to give you the proper growing or suggestion information. And then a quick synopsis of what you're, wanting to cover. So, yeah, first name, your location, and then your question.
There you go. And so this text message says, my landscaper has recommended Citra Blue Grass. I'm not familiar with that type of grass. What do you think? I think it's a wonderful grass. It is a St. Augustine variety, and it grows in the shade nicely. Now, St. Augustine can't have too much shade, so if you have only 1 or 2 hours, you shouldn't grow grass at all. But Citra Blue can bloom, or not bloom, but can grow with 4 to 5 hours, less sunlight. It also takes full sun. It is smaller. It has wonderful disease resistance. So it is I use it. In fact, I installed it this week on one of my landscape installations. So I do recommend it. If you have shade, partial shade, it's a good grass that will grow. And it's recommended by the University of Florida too as well. All right. So that's a great question. Good morning, Lori in St. Cloud. She trimmed her desert roses, and now it looks like they're rotting where I trimmed them and blooming more from the base, and I'm not sure why. Thank you. Well, Lori, it's because the euphorbias, that bulbous base, when the leaves get cut, your branches get cut on it, it exudes that milky sap, and I don't know why you cut it back. I don't understand the reason why, unless it was just way too big, which is really good. But when you cut succulents back like that, then they're going to start producing from the base. They're not necessarily going to produce from the top branches. I want you to see, if you cut it diagonally, it's probably going to sprout out from the top again, but it's just going to take a little bit longer. But by pruning them, it forced the plant into stress. And when they stress, they're going to produce more leaves and branches. And that usually comes from the bottom of the base of the euphorbia. Okay, so I don't think there's a major problem with it. That dark area where it looks like it's rotting is probably where the sap was, and I just think that's it. It should recover fine. Make sure you cut plants diagonally when you prune them back. So Linda in Zone B said, Teresa, have you taken groups to Holland? Not yet, but we're planning on it.
So, Shut up. Yeah, are you serious?
She loves Holland. She goes to the Asmiel Flower Auction Mart. And every time she went, she thought she had died and gone to heaven. So traveling around and looking at gardens is traveling to heaven.
Yes.
It is. It's wonderful. So thank you, Linda, for that. So I talked earlier in the first hour about dichondra in the St. Augustine. And they texted back and said, if I do nothing to the dichondra in the St. Augustine, will it take over my St. Augustine lawn? No, it's not. But I want you to kind of assess your St. Augustine. There's a reason why the dichondra is able to grow there. If you've got bare spots or lots of shade, dichondra grows in shade. And if you have Floritam or a different type of St. Augustine that needs full sun, then it may not be able to, the dichondra is going to grow. Okay, so there's something going on there that's allowing the dichondra to grow. It's a native plant, but you know, it likes moisture, it likes shade. And so I would just check that out, find out what's going on there, and that'll be good. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 2380. I want to wish my dear friend Joanne Molinari a very happy birthday. We'll be back with more of your phone calls and gardening questions. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Better Lawns and Gardens and Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. Wanted to remind everyone that next week is the Orlando Garden Club. Treasures from my spring garden will be on Friday, April 25th. And that will be from 1 to 5 p.m. at the 710 East Rollins Street Orlando Garden Club facility in Orlando, right behind Avon Health. And then Saturday, April 26th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then next week also, Saturday, April 26th, the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival. That's where Tom McCubbin will be the plant doctor in the morning. You can go and visit him there and also check out all the beautiful plants and vendors. And then also it is open on Sunday, April 27th. All right. And lots of great finds there too as well. All right. So Nancy in Merritt Island, she said, I asked last week about my money tree. I moved her from a 1 gallon pot to a 3 gallon pot. Gave her all new dirt and a little fertilizer and plenty of water, and she's looking great now. So she said, thank you very much. So Nancy, this is what I want to tell you. The money tree you have is called Pachyra aquatica. Aquatica means water. The money tree is found native to Central and South American rainforest and swamps and wetlands. It likes water, which means that your plant will do well in the 3 gallon pot for about 2 years, but then it's going to fill the root base of it. And it may only take 1 year, So as you start to see it decline again, then you're going to want to up it to the next size. They can get to be, Nancy, 60 feet tall. Okay, but usually indoors, 6 to 8 feet tall. So that's about a 15-gallon pot. All right, now, if you want to keep it in that 15-gallon pot or even the 3-gallon pot, then what you do is once a year, you take it out of the pot, cut a third of the roots off, put more soil back into the pot, and put the plant back in it. It will stay in that pot for years. Okay, so it is a wetland plant, so that means it likes moisture. I don't want you to overwater it, but it needs to have where the soil is damp or moist. I would say I would water it probably once a week if you're keeping it indoors. And if you're outdoors, definitely 2 to 3 times a week. Okay, it is a wetland plant. Great question. Thank you for the update. Let's go to Joe in Oak Hill. Good morning, Joe. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I just want to compliment you on your recommendations. We used to fertilize the fruit trees constantly every as needed. But once you recommended the essential minerals, that's what made it the big boom. So our crops are just incredibly doing well. And
wonderful. Thank you so much. Well, you know, just like us, when we take our vitamins, I equate fertilizer to vitamins, Joe. And we just don't only, if you look at the vitamin label and a fertilizer label, they look the same. They have the same ingredients in it. Now, it's not for, you know, human consumption fertilizer for plants, but you'll look and you'll see nitrogen in our vitamins. You'll see phosphorus and you'll see potassium too as well. But we also need those micronutrients, boron, manganese, zinc, copper, you know, all of those. And so by adding that, you're helping the plant have everything it needs. So thank you so much.
Well, yeah, it made a big difference. I have a brief question,
if
I may, please.
Sure.
So we have some avocados, and we had the Haas, and we had the Cuban Virgin, the larger avocado.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing really well. They started to blossom. And then also we had the freeze 3 years ago, uh-huh. 2 years ago, and they're pretty much, they rotted off from the top, but yet I'm getting some shoots coming in from the bottom. Is that, what am I going to do? Do I cut them down? They're dead or?
Well, I mean, do you still have growth coming from the top?
No, I have growth coming from the sides,
mm-hmm.
where it's solid.
Yeah.
And I cut one of them down and it was kind of rotted out inside, and then I finally got to where the meat's at.
Okay. So how tall are they now?
Well, they were 30 to 35 feet tall.
Yeah.
And now they're pretty much died down to 2 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah. I probably, just to save time and effort, I probably would scrap those and just go ahead and put new 4 to 5 foot, 6 foot tall avocado trees back in that haven't frozen. We had 3 avocado trees in Tavares growing up, and they were 35, 40 feet tall. They were gorgeous. And then we got the hits from the back-to-back freezes in the 80s, and we lost those trees. They just never recovered.
Wow.
So I would say that if they were that tall and they got damaged, that if they're only 4 to 5 feet tall and they're not doing well, and they're just not a pretty looking tree, because avocados are gorgeous trees.
Correct.
Then I would just go ahead and just start over. Now's a good time to plant them. You want to make sure that you're watering during this drought. But, you know, you need to decide yourself if you like the way they look. They're probably not going to get any prettier.
Okay, excellent. And where do you recommend, what's a good reputable place to pick one up?
Oh, well, you can go just Oak Hill. Remind me what city that's close to. Is that in Citrus County?
Edgewater, New Smyrna. It's on the coast.
It's on the coast. Okay, you can definitely go to Quality Green Specialist in DeLand. Okay.
Quality Green Specialist, okay.
Okay, he has wonderful avocado trees right now that are gorgeous. And he can help you, and it's only about a half an hour away from you.
Excellent, excellent. Well, thank you. We enjoy your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joe, for calling in. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I love
that. That's nice to hear, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's good to hear that, you know, that he had a continued question about that. And also, some things that I don't really take in consideration is, like you said, basically, after something gets hits with a freeze, it may still live. but
you know, and it's never going to be. And so that's what we want, is an attractive tree.
Yes.
You know, and so it may not recover from that, or it just may take too much time.
Yeah.
And you might as well just scrap it, offer it up to the wood gods, and, you know, get a new one. And then that way you get fruit the first year.
That's a good question. Good question.
There you go. It was wonderful. So I have a text message that says, I have a decades-old hibiscus in the ground that is sad and looking very leggy. Can I drastically prune this? Do hibiscus have a lifespan and deteriorate in appearance? I'm guilty of not fertilizing regularly. Well, not fertilizing regularly is not going to be so damaging now during the drought, okay? Fertilizer is at its base, salt, and when we fertilize a plant that is stressed out from drought or not getting enough water, you're going to damage it. So you want to be very careful. You don't want to put salt on a plant when it's in a drought situation. All right. But your hibiscus can take regular pruning. So I suggest that you cut it back by a third right now, water it real well before you do it, and then after you do it. And then you can cut it back by a third without hurting it. And then if you need to, let's say it's 8 feet tall and you cut it back by a third, so you're going to take 2.5-3 feet off, and then in August, take it down another 3 feet. Okay, so I prune hibiscus in right after winter, so in February, first part of March, and then again in August. That gives you 3 months where the hibiscus can bounce back and recover and be established enough that it will be able to take freezes.
Okay, and what month was that again you said to cut back?
I cut back in winter, after winter, so February, first part of March, you can cut hibiscus back, and then again in August. And that gives it 3 months before winter again, where it'll be hardened off and it can take a little bit colder temperatures.
Okay, yeah, because, you know, I lose my mind every once in a while and I've become obsessed with something, and hibiscus is my one. And so I sent you the blackjack one that I ordered online.
It's gorgeous.
And it's a yellow with like a gray dark.
It looks excited. It looks very vintage.
Yes, I can't wait for the others to grow. So.
Yes, so that's wonderful. Okay, so next weekend, April 25th and 26th, remember the Orlando Garden Club has treasures for my spring garden flower show. It's going to be wonderful. They're going to have fairy gardens. They're going to have floral displays, cut flowers, and then also terrariums and all kinds of succulent gardens. You'll love to see it. That's at the 710 East Rollins Street in Orlando, Florida, Friday, 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., and then Saturday, April 26th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Go by. It's free. It's open to the public. And then hop on over to the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival, which is going to be at the Kit Nelson Park. There's going to be lots of plant vendors. Also, the plant doctor is going to be there. Tom McCubbin will be there in the morning on Saturday, April 26th. Stop by and say hello to him. And then also, too, lots of food trucks. It's going to be a great festival. And that is April 26th, then also April 27th. Sunday, Saturday and Sunday. So next weekend's going to be lots of places to go if you love plants. And then stop by and go to Quality Green Specialist Nursery in DeLand and pick up one of his beautiful fruit trees. That's one of the best things about living in Florida, is that we can grow fruit trees all year round, grow plants all year round. So Lizzie, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Yes, thank you. And thank you to our listeners. We have the best listeners. Not only do you guys call and text, but you also, some of them crack a few jokes with me too.
They do. And have a happy Easter, everyone. We want to thank Heather Stickney, Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.